Mike Peskin for Brian Lehr on WNYC. You probably know about Mayor Bloomberg's Million Trees Project. You've seen the ads on the subway. They're part of Plan YC, which is like Plan and NYC, but missing one of the N's to make it look cool. Plan YC is the long-term sustainability plan announced in 2006. It's a promise to plant a million trees by 2017. So far, 174,000 trees have been planted, and yesterday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack joined Mayor Bloomberg in announcing that New York City will be getting $2 million to, quote, create green jobs and restore urban forests in New York City. The grant will create up to 20 new jobs in horticulture and forestry as part of the Million Trees Initiative. 20 jobs. Really? Is the global economy that has been promised to bring us out of the recession and solve global warming dependent on 20 jobs? I guess the worst you could say is it's a start. Joining me now to talk about the green economy is Ethan Pollack, a policy analyst at the Economic Policy Institute. He co-authored a report on the economic effects of green investment. Ethan, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thanks to be here, Mike.
So first of all, let's get this definition out of the way. We talk about green jobs. In your report, you write green jobs in quotes. What does that mean?
Well, I think green jobs is kind of course, an abstract concept, and it's, you know, it's very slippery. But essentially, you know, a lot of people have argued that, you know, if we reduce our carbon emissions and move from kind of a gray to a green economy, then it will cost jobs. And I think what the concept of green jobs is kind of look at the other side of the ledger, that we will actually be, you know, there will also be jobs that are gained. And there's a lot of research that shows that actually the jobs that are gained are greater than the jobs that are have been lost, because we'll be moving towards a more labor-intensive economy. So I guess the green jobs kind of refers to more the jobs that are gained from also being, you know, environmentally responsible.
But the jobs they were talking about yesterday, the jobs in horticulture and forestry, the 20 new New York City jobs 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago, those jobs weren't called green jobs or green collar. I think they were called gardening. I mean, isn't some of this green job talk rebranding pretty simple and basic concepts?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's looking at all of these jobs in a different way. I mean, I think that's one of the cool things about green jobs is that these are not necessarily like new, unique jobs that we need to train people for, that people aren't, you know, already trained in. These are very simple jobs that people are already doing. For example, if you're installing a HVAC system, a heating, ventilation, air conditioning, if you're installing it and it's, you know, just a normal system, then that's just what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. If it is highly, you know, but you can also install a very highly energy efficient HVAC system, and if you do that as part of a, you know, retrofitting program to reduce energy consumption, then that would be considered a green job. But you're essentially doing the same thing.
But with the guy who handles billing for that company, does he have a green job?
I mean, if the transition, you know, means that you need more of them, then yeah. But I think the green jobs usually are more defined in terms of the direct impact. But again, this is a slippery concept. I mean, in the end, what we're trying to say more is that green investments will create jobs. So the focus is less on what, you know, on, you know, whether this is a green job or this isn't a green job, but rather that we should be doing, you know, these types of green investments because they will create a lot of new jobs.
All right. Well, here's President Obama a couple weeks ago on the promise of green investment and how it will stimulate the economy.
Through $59 billion invested in clean energy and in tax incentives to promote clean energy, the Recovery Act is estimated to create more than 300,000 jobs. And these are jobs that will be created as we double our country's supply of renewable energy, make the largest investment in basic research funding in American history. These are jobs developing new batteries to power the next generation of plug-in hybrid cars, like those being tested at the facility I visited in California last week. These are jobs upgrading our power grid so that it can carry renewable energy from the far-flung places that where it's produced to the cities that use it.
So the president there, you here, are painting green jobs as sort of a win-win. They're green and they're jobs. Tell me why you think that, as far as all the different kind of jobs that the stimulus program is trying to create, why are green jobs some of the best?
What our research has shown actually is that when you do green investments, the types of jobs you create are actually jobs that go towards workers that have kind of been overlooked in the labor market of the last 30 years or so. In the last 30 years since about 1979, you've had a huge increase in hourly wage inequality, which is then fueled, of course, wealth inequality, and that has kind of been from two sources, both a deunionization of the workforce and also the increase in the college premium, the college premium being the greater returns that someone gets after they have a BA.
A generation ago, for instance, that person who was a college graduate could expect to be paid 50% more than just a high school graduate. Now it's
exactly
up to like 80% more.
That's exactly it. So what these do is these jobs actually disproportionately, compared to the overall economy, these jobs skew towards people who do not have bachelor's degrees, which is 70% of the workforce, by the way, and they skew slightly towards unionized jobs, not necessarily current union workers, but unionized jobs. And unionized jobs tend to pay a higher level of wages than the overall economy. Now, also, these are jobs that don't require as much education. Yet at the same time, there are less low-wage jobs. And that, I think that's an important thing, is that the wage distribution of these jobs that are created actually tends to bunch towards the middle. So you get less high-wage jobs, but you also get less low-wage jobs. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to present a study from Spain where they have invested heavily in the green economy. And the study found that creating green jobs seemed to kill off other jobs in other sectors of the economy by a ratio of 1 to 2.2. For every green job you got, 2.2 other jobs went away, I'm sure. You've been presented with that study before. What do you say about it?
Well, actually, I have not looked at that study yet. I am not sure exactly I assume that's an empirical study based on the amount of truthfully, I'm not exactly sure what Spain has done in terms of green jobs. Their definition might be different.
Well, what's the so then in the United States so far, what we've done, you haven't found the net loss of what you called maybe gray jobs or the gray economy?
Not at all. And in terms of, if you look at, for example, California's been doing these types of investments, especially in energy efficiency, for a long time, and they've actually stabilized and I think actually reduced since the 90s their per capita energy usage. And what you've seen actually is there's a study just done by UC Berkeley a couple months ago, I think, that showed that they'd actually created a net like 1.2 million jobs since the 70s when they had started doing all of these investments. Now, the reason why they got that was less in the direct creation of green jobs, but more in the fact that as you reduced the energy bills of people, they have more disposable income to spend on other things. So you're increasing demand because people all of a sudden can go out and say, oh, I saved a bunch of money on my energy bill. I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a new sweater or something like that. That then creates retail jobs. So this really is a win-win.
Well, you seem to paint it as, or many members of the Obama administration go beyond win-win. It's win for the economy. It's win for the environment. They talk about which particular groups will be helped. Union workers will be helped. Hispanics will be disproportionately helped. As I read through your report, I said to myself, my goodness, so many different aspects of the Democratic coalition, not just those who are in the coalition already, but those they want to attract, seem to be helped by this Green Jobs Initiative. Again, as a journalist, the skepticism radar went up almost too good to be true, I thought to myself.
Well, first off, the numbers don't lie. That happens to be the case. But I would say that this is not all win-win. These jobs do tend to be more disproportionately male than the overall economy, and that's not necessarily a good thing. And that's something that as we do more both green investments and overall in infrastructure investments, especially in transportation, the construction industry does tend to be heavily male, and a lot of the jobs are created in the construction industry. So that's something that we definitely need to watch out for. Now, in the short term, I don't think that's as much of a problem because most of the people that have been losing jobs have been men. There have been a lot of female jobs lost as well. However, the construction industry has taken such a huge battering, and that is, you know, is a disproportionately male industry. So you have a lot of excess capacity that's, you know, male out there. So in the short term, having a recovery package that tends to rehire a lot of that excess capacity should, of course, then also rehire disproportionately male. In the long term, though, if we're going to be making a permanent commitment to, you know, to these green investments, to overall transportation investments and infrastructure in general, then I think that we do need to watch out for that, because we don't want a labor market that skews too heavily to the male side.
Now, if the American automobile manufacturers go under, or one of them goes under, and a lot of jobs are lost, will that affect your overall numbers? Because a lot of these jobs are sort of retrofitting automobiles to make them greener, correct?
Not retrofitting.
I think I used that word wrong. But, you know, working on the assembly lines, and now we'll be making greener cars, so those will count as green jobs.
You know, yeah, kind of. The inputs that we used were actually not specific to auto workers. There was a lot of manufacturing, but, you know, we were kind of thinking that more in terms of green energy manufacturing, so like solar panels and things like that, which you'd assume would, you know, create a lot of manufacturing jobs. And if you have Buy American clauses in them, those will be, you know, American manufacturing jobs. If you lose capacity in the auto sector, then, you know, yeah, you know, you're you know, some of those jobs that are, you know, you might get more leakage, and some, you know, more of those jobs might go overseas, unfortunately, which is why it's important to have a, you know, domestic, you know, not just a domestic automotive industry, but also just a really strong domestic manufacturing industry, so that these investments that we create actually will then give the economy greater benefit.
And you're an economist. You know that it won't be long-term sustainable if all the jobs are being created by the government. So what's your prognosis on that? How long will it have to be government prodded to get these green jobs? And when will the market just start responding, saying, yes, green jobs make so much sense, we don't need a subsidy to put them in place?
Well, one very important thing to get the private market to be doing this is to put a price on carbon emissions. I mean, you can do that either with a carbon tax, or what I would prefer is a cap and trade with 100% auction. And I think that Obama's plan to do that, I think, is a good one, and he plans to then rebate 80% of the revenue back to consumers, which I think is excellent, because then that also can, you know, gets more hands and, you know, more money into the hands of people who have a greater propensity to spend that money back into the economy. So it's actually an overall progressive shift. Now, if you put a price on carbon, what you're doing is, you know, you're creating this price signal, and investors who are thinking about investing in green technology, they may say, you know what, I don't want to invest in green technology like we were doing in the 70s, and then suddenly oil drops to, you know, $20, you know, $10 a barrel or a gallon.
Right.
Or,
we had that with ethanol.
Exactly. And, you know, instead you need to have that, you know, those prices in place so that, you know, investors know that there's going to be a market for essentially carbon abatement, for low carbon technologies. And if they know that and they have that certainty, you know, businesses, more than anything else, they hate uncertainty. You know, they want to know what the prices are going to be in the future. And if the government can at least put some sort of price floor on it and say, you know, carbon is going to be, you know, is going to be priced at, you know, $40 a emission ton or something like that in the next, you know, 5 years, then they know what to invest in, because they can kind of predict future demand.
All right. Ethan Pollack, policy analyst at the Economic Policy Institute, green jobs expert. Thank you, Ethan.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Coming up, the state of gambling in the state of New Jersey and Delaware and New York. It's in a second.